Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Wiser Financial Advisor Show with Josh Nelson, where we get real, we get honest, and we get clear about the financial world and your money. This is Josh Nelson, founder and CEO of Keystone Financial Services. Let the financial fun begin.
Today's topic is going to be fun. It's called Getting Ready to Rumble, which is what I call helping you try to avoid fights about money. And I've been in a lot of meetings. Believe me, over the years, there have been meetings where I've wanted to crawl under my desk because things get so tense between a husband and a wife. And you can imagine this is the number one thing. According to Investopedia, this is the number one topic that people fight about in marriage is money. So it is worth talking about because if we can at least take some tension out of the conversation and provide some kind of framework to move forward, this is really, really key to having a better relationship. So thanks for joining me today. Overall, the thing that we're trying to do here is make better decisions about money. Really, that's what the podcast is about. The Wiser Financial Advisor is about learning and trying to gain wisdom from people who have walked before us. So we don't have to learn everything by trial and error. We can actually really accelerate our progress by learning from other people. So that's learning from me. I've got 25 years in this industry now, so tens of thousands of hours of experience working with people's finances in meetings and seeing what works and what doesn't. Also, you get the benefit of the people I've learned from. I certainly have been able to walk in their footsteps, so very thankful for that. So the first thing I'm going to talk about today is understanding the root causes of why people fight about money. Ultimately, it does come down to different values, different approaches, maybe different backgrounds. So even just think about it from a background standpoint, where did most of us learn about money? Probably our parents. When we grew up, we saw whether they taught us overtly or not, maybe it was just observing, but our parents taught us something. They taught us either a good example on how to handle money, or they taught us a bad example. And that doesn't necessarily mean that we have to follow that. In fact, in a lot of cases, we talk to clients about their financial backgrounds, their family backgrounds. They say, you know what, the reason why I'm so financially successful is I saw how my mom and dad handled money and they just blew it. You know, they didn't do a good job saving, investing, you know, managing debt, things like that. And so I resolved that I was never going to have that. Now, I was lucky. Both of my parents actually were great examples, both from an investing and a budgeting standpoint. So I'm very blessed to have had that. But not everybody has that example. That is not how you have to proceed, though. Certainly lots of people who had great examples, and then they turned out to not make very good decisions themselves and vice versa. So just recognizing that if you're coming into this relationship, you do come into the relationship with a basket of stuff, of your own values and backgrounds and experiences. And again, values are important too, because people may approach things differently as far as money and what should be done with them. Overall, when we're managing these things, it is about compromise. So the second area I want to hit on today is building a solid financial foundation. And really, that comes from having open communication. And really, a way that this can go really negative, by the way, is financial infidelity. Financial infidelity means that you're actually hiding money from each other. There's a concerted effort to actually hide money, hide spending, hide debt in some circumstances. I've seen it all. Believe me, after 25 years, I've seen a lot of situations. So it's important that communication is open and that you are not only making yourself understood, but seeking to understand what the other person values and finds important, because ultimately it is about compromise. When it comes to a relationship on pretty much any topic, when you're coming into it together, you're deciding to be one, you know, one relationship, you go in one direction, and ultimately it does come down to a lot of compromising. It's very unlikely that you're always going to see things exactly the same way. Certainly, Sarah and I are in that camp. We do not always see things the same way. We love each other and we love our kids and we're very committed to each other, but sometimes we don't agree, right? We might see things from a different perspective. So it's very important that both of you are seeking to understand each other. At least that's a good foundation for making some decisions going forward. So ultimately, it does come down to having a shared vision. And sometimes that shared vision does come from compromise. If you were doing things completely on your own, and in which case you probably should have stayed single, right? If you're coming into a relationship with another person, that means that you're choosing to be in that relationship and you're choosing to go forward together. That means setting goals, creating a budget, talking about how money is handled, how debt is handled, how estate documents are handled, how is insurance and employee benefits, all these different things, taxes. So certainly looking at all of those things together and coming up with a plan. It's not just a one-time thing, a one-time sit-down. Unfortunately, you know, this is an ongoing process, if nothing else, because the rules change over time and your circumstances change. But having some type of a cadence for revisiting these things, the more often that you talk about them and the more often that you're seeking to understand the other person's point of view, the less likelihood there is for misunderstandings or that things blow up. In other words, that there really ends up being a major fight or certainly that things would go downhill with money. We certainly don't want things to go that direction. Ultimately, it is about that solid foundation, really figuring out the way, how do we come up with a plan? How do we move forward together? So effectively communicating means that you are checking in regularly with each other, where you're actively listening and avoiding blame or criticism. Try not to say you always, you never. Starting to do that, it means that you're actually attacking the other person. And the second that somebody feels judged, they're going to shut down. That's just the way we are as humans. If you're using I and we and, you know, trying to understand from the other person's perspective where they're coming from, a lot of reflective listening, repeating back, it might seem really basic, but repeating back what you're hearing from the other person will help that. So it doesn't feel like blaming or criticism. And then the other person feels heard. That sometimes is all that needs to happen. And of course, you want to be able to be heard too. And so it does go both ways. But ultimately, by doing that, you can really highlight the areas that you're having common ground. You know, that's great. If there's common ground, then you can kind of highlight that, but also highlight the value of compromise and the fact that, hey, we figured something out together here that we can both either be happy about or at least live with and not have tension going forward. Sometimes we do have different opinions, different priorities. And again, that's part of the package. When you get married, you know that you're coming into it with different things that you're going to be compromising on. So, and ultimately, you know, the last point is just, you know, hitting on the fact that sometimes boundaries and responsibilities get really clear on that as far as what people's roles are in the relationship. What I've seen personally is that usually in any couple, one of those two people is more interested than the other about financial planning, investing, budgeting, debt, making tax decisions, things like that. Usually one person is kind of the point person. And sometimes it's better. I see this a lot, is that maybe one person's more the person who takes care of the day-to-day, the budgeting, the paying the bills, the keeping track of the money, and the other person might be a little bit more interested in the longer-term planning. Of course, you both have to be on the same page, so everybody's clear about what's happening. But dividing and conquering, that can be a useful thing. That's part of the advantage of being married, is that you're coming together and you're hopefully forging a stronger relationship than you would have been on your own. Certainly, I can say that from Sarah and I, that we're stronger together than we would be on our own in lots of areas. It doesn't mean we always agree on stuff, but again, sometimes that makes you stronger. Having to work through tough stuff actually can make your relationship even stronger than it was before. Dividing out those tasks, thinking about, again, all the areas of financial planning, bill paying, budgeting, long-term financial planning, which encompasses lots of things, again, taxes, insurance, estate planning, lots of different discussions that can come up, and sometimes those get tense. But that doesn't mean it always ends bad. In a lot of cases, in fact, most cases, people figure it out. You know, we talk through it, and despite some tension, we're able to kind of move forward and figure out a plan. I would, you know, kind of make a plug, maybe a shameless plug, but I think it's a fair plug, because in most cases, people do better off with a coach. That's why people like Tiger Woods, Rory McIlroy, using golf examples, Phil Mickelson, they still have swing coaches. They, in fact, have multiple coaches that they still work with at this point, even though these are the best golfers in the world, and they still have coaches. And the reason why they still have coaches is because they realize that they cannot see themselves, regardless of what kind of technology and so forth. And they've got a lot, you know, they spend a lot of money on cameras and things that can help really dial in and measure everything that they're doing. Sometimes it does take somebody else who's able to give you a third-party view that actually cares about you, that wants to see you be successful, and hopefully they're a fiduciary. Certainly we are. Our planners at Keystone are fiduciaries, that they have a vested interest in making sure that you're successful. So they are going to be giving you advice that's in your best interest, not their best interest. That really is the key. So using somebody that you care about, my plug would be use a certified financial planner. Again, that's the gold standard in our industry, from somebody who that not just an investment person, not just a product person or or somebody who's selling insurance. Not to say any of those people are bad people, but really a certified financial planner is kind of like a head coach. They know what's going on. They know the entire plan, and they have a track record. They have a track record of hopefully a lot of years of working with people and knowing what works and what doesn't. I would strongly encourage that, especially if there is any kind of conflict, or if you just want to kind of up your game. Maybe it's just that you want to get to a better place than you are right now, figure out what that next level is for you. That would be what I would recommend, is sit down with a financial advisor or sometimes even a counselor. And I will throw that out. Sometimes this actually gets to the level of going to a licensed therapist, especially when it gets really emotional. And in some cases, financial infidelity occurs. It could be that somebody did something. They've been hiding money or hiding debt. I've seen this happen over the years, and it's devastating to the other person when they find out. And they will find out, believe me. It's not something that you're going to be able to hide forever. So, you know, my encouragement is, first of all, don't hide stuff from your spouse, you know, financially or otherwise. But certainly, even if it has happened, that probably means that a therapist needs to be talked to. It probably needs to be worked through, because there's been a breach of trust there. So maybe it's working with a team. Maybe you've got a certified financial planner. Maybe you also have a therapist, even if it's temporarily. We have a lot of experience and we're trained to be able to handle these conversations. Not to say that there aren't other people that can do that as well, but having that experience actually does help a lot, because we've seen it before. We probably have seen your situation and know how people have been successful at working through it. With that, I'll end there. But really, it does come down to understanding each other, having a firm financial foundation, coming up with a basis that, hey, we agree on this and we're moving forward on it. So not just focusing on what we disagree on, but figure out how can we come together? How can we actually move forward together? Putting a plan into place and using professionals as needed, people that you can bring onto your team and ultimately help you strengthen your relationship and achieve your shared financial goals. So again, thank you for tuning in to the Wiser Financial Advisor podcast. We certainly appreciate that whenever you share these episodes with your friends, your family members, your coworkers. Also, if you could help us out by clicking subscribe on your favorite podcast service, whether that's Spotify or Apple, wherever you're listening to this, if you could click on subscribe so you stay up to date with our podcast episodes. And also make sure that you give us a rating. That always helps us. And hopefully you enjoyed the episode. If there's anything that we can do to help, we are here as a resource. We are located at keystonefinancial.com. You can also go to the Wiser Financial Advisor website at wiserfinancialadvisor.com. And you can email us directly at communications@keystonefinancial.com if you'd like to have somebody reach out to you or to schedule a time to talk. Hope you have a great week. God bless. Take care.
We love feedback, and we'd love it if you would pass it on to me directly at josh@keystonefinancial.com. Also, please stay plugged in with us, get updates on episodes, and help us promote the podcast by rating us and also subscribing to us at your favorite podcast service.
The opinions voiced in the Wiser Financial Advisor Show with host Josh Nelson are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific information or recommendations for any individual. To determine what may be appropriate for you, consult your attorney, accountant, financial, or tax advisor prior to investing. Investment advisory services offered through Keystone Financial Services, an SEC registered investment advisor.